This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another episode of Layla Weighs In. Thank you for sending me your questions. Send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. So, I've got an email from Richard. I'm just getting right to it. I've got an email from Richard. He writes, "Hi, Layla. It seems that many olives are processed by soaking them in lye. Although the lye is washed away, I assume that some amounts remain in the flesh of the olive. I know you're generally against chemical additives in food, so should lye-soaked olives also be avoided? Since lye is alkaline, might a trace amount of lye be beneficial, as some integrative doctors, including at least one past guest on Dr. Hoffman's podcast, it was a Dr. Jaffe, recommend a diet rich in alkaline foods. I've also read that olives are probiotic. Does lye aid in the process of culturing probiotics?" From Richard. Richard, let me start with the last question. Does lye aid in the process of culturing probiotics? If it does, I don't believe that our probiotics are made that way. But let's first talk about olives and how olives are cured. There's saltwater fermentation of olives, there's dry curing, there's oil curing and sun curing, things using pickling salts. So let's talk about olives first. Olives and olive oil, as we know, are very good sources of monounsaturated fat, and that olive oil has the highest percentage, over 70%, of monounsaturated fat of any edible oil. Good staple for the diet. We're talking about olive oil. So olives and olive oil also contain other minor components such as pignins, flavonoids, phenolic compounds that act as antioxidants and can offer protective health benefits. Now, there are some olive varieties that are preferred for specific olive styles based on their flavor, their texture, their size, and processing characteristics. Where am I getting this information? I'm getting this from the University of California, Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources, University of California. Okay? So, for example, Manzanillo variety of olive is ideal for lye-cured olives. And Spanish-style green olives, the Mission variety, is excellent for dry salt cured ripe olives and dark ripe style or California black ripe style olives. And the Kalamata variety is ideal for Kalamata style water cured olives. And the Sevillano variety is often used for Sicilian style fermented olives. When you're doing a true fermentation, that's when the olives will have some probiotics. It will be, you could call it a probiotic food when it's been a lactic acid-based fermentation, as in a sauerkraut or a kimchi, pickles, something of that nature. Now, what I found interesting is that some of these varieties are more amenable or ideal for lye curing, but might I remind everyone that lye is a caustic substance, okay? It's sodium hydroxide. It's caustic soda. And it has a lot of purposes. It's commonly used in making soap, as you likely well know. It's also used in peeling some types of peaches and in preparing some foods, such as Scandinavian lutefisk, hominy, and olives. Very important when using lye, never to use aluminum, tin, lead, or zinc galvanized metals with lye, because lye will corrode and ruin containers or utensils made of these metals, and that reaction will give off a hydrogen gas. Lye will also dissolve the zinc in galvanized coatings, which may make olives in such containers poisonous. Lots of reasons not to use lye. Okay. So, another caution with lye, as you may or may not know, lye must always be handled very carefully, since it's extremely corrosive and a highly reactive chemical. As a matter of fact, if you were making at home lye-cured olives, which I don't recommend anybody do, you have to first think about your disposal of the lye before you even embark on such an endeavor, right? Because lye can cause severe burns, permanent injury, scarring if it comes in contact with your skin and your eyes. You want to make sure that, you know, you're being very, very careful. So, the sources of lye, the lye to cure olives must be 100% pure sodium hydroxide, also known as caustic soda. It's available in hardware stores and all of that. I truly don't recommend it at all. And the Greek method of curing olives, fully ripened dark purple or black olives are gradually fermented in a brine or saltwater brine to leach out the bitter taste. And really, that bitter taste is coming from the allopurin. Olives picked off the tree contain a very bitter compound called allopurin, O-L-E-U-R-O-P-E-I-N. So harvested olives have to be cured to remove this bitterness. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to eat them. And the most common curing processes use brine, they use dry salt, they even use water, or lye treatments. So during these curing processes, the water-soluble allopurin compound is leached out of the olive flesh. So the flavor, the texture of each style of olive depends partly on the curing process. Lye curing may be common because it's the most rapid and most efficient process for debittering. But many people think that lye-cured olives are less flavorful than other styles of olives. Brined olives, however, undergo a natural fermentation, not unlike that used for traditional dill pickles and sauerkraut. Now we're talking probiotic, a brined, a natural fermentation. And the acids used in fermentation are by lactic acid bacteria. They're naturally present on the fruit, and they give these olives a distinctive flavor and aroma. As a matter of fact, brined olives tend to be saltier than lye-cured olives. And water curing doesn't change the flavor of the olives as much, okay, as the other curing methods. So, lye is used because it's quicker, okay, and that's probably why it's used. And if you're ever biting into an olive, say a jar of manzanilla olives that we know are more ideal for lye curing, if you're ever getting a nasty, nasty soap taste, that probably is some of the lye, residual lye that you're tasting. And lye is a very basic compound, meaning acid base. It scores a 13 on the pH scale. And our stomach acid, as you may know, on the pH scale is about 1.5. So by ingesting any residue of lye that may be left in some varieties of olives, if anything, may give you some indigestion and maybe make your stomach acid a little less acidic. But again, this is really, really interesting that lye is used in this method. Of course, there would have to be a lot of rinsing and so forth. And again, I don't recommend it for people wanting to cure their olives at home. So, Richard, I thank you for this very, very thoughtful question. And this was actually a bit of an education for me as I did the research on the use of lye in curing olives. And if you want to learn more, University of California, Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources, just Google it. So, thank you, Richard, for that question. I've got another question from Shazad. Shazad writes, "My regular breakfast consists of two slices of a sprouted multigrain bread that I toast. One I use with some organic whipped cream, some cream cheese, organic whipped cream cheese. The other with some organic peanut butter. I typically have a 16-ounce cup of organic coffee without milk. Yet, I have bowel movements every second day and sometimes even after 3 days. So for other meals, I alternate between grass-fed beef, cod, filet. Your comments and suggested on why my bowel habits are this way would be appreciated." So it sounds like Shazad is possibly complaining of some constipation. So hence the description of the multigrain bread, which will contain, I would think, a significant amount of fiber, at least 3 grams, maybe as much as 7 grams of fiber in a sprouted multigrain bread. Okay, so about constipation, first of all, let's define it a little bit. Constipation is when you're having difficulty moving your bowels. Constipation is also accompanied by any discomfort, gas, you know, bloating, cramping, that kind of a thing. But let's now define regularity, bowel regularity. Some people go once a day. Some people have a bowel movement 3 times a day. And it's not urgent. It's predictable. It's easy to go, and that's fine. Other people, on the other hand, will have a bowel movement every other day or maybe as little as 3 times a week. As long as these folks who are not going every day, only going every other day or 3 times a week, as long as they don't feel backed up, bloated, crampy, difficult to move their bowels, then that is actually defined as what's regular for them. Some people normally have a bowel movement every other day. They go without any difficulty. They go without any feeling of bloating or anything, and that's perfectly fine. But for those who have a problem with that, who need to go once a day or feel more regular going once a day, I would have some questions. First of all, are you drinking enough water? The fiber in your diet is very, very important, and the recommended amount for adults is, you know, anywhere from 25 to 35 grams a day. But if you're not drinking enough water, that fiber can work against you. Worst case scenario, it might cause an intestinal obstruction. But, you know, eating all that fiber without any water can actually cause more constipation, which is typically what happens when people are taking fiber but not drinking enough water. You need 8 8-ounce cups of pure filtered water daily. That's enough for most people. And always, whenever you're thirsty, you must drink. So drink more water. Beverages that can count as water intake for you are beverages that are not caffeinated and not alcoholic beverages either in that regard. So now, other people are taking fiber but are still constipated. They're drinking enough water, they're taking fiber, but to no avail. And then what's recommended for them is a probiotic, and voila, that constipation is gone. It's abated. So what that person really needed was some beneficial bacteria to take up residence in the gut to help promote more peristalsis, to help promote more healthy bowel function. Okay? So the inclusion of probiotics into your regular diet, that could be with some lacto-fermentation of pickles, sauerkraut. It can also be the inclusion of prebiotics. I think the supplement Flowy, which is kiwi extract, is a wonderful prebiotic. It causes no bowel urgency at all. It brings on just a good, normal, regular, healthy bowel movement, which is what, you know, everybody is after. It's a quality of life issue. Prebiotic foods are things like asparagus, onions, leeks, Jerusalem artichoke, things of that nature. Having more of those healthy plant foods in your diet is all good, helping with the diversity of probiotics and prebiotics in your gut. This is all for health maintenance of your bowel. You want a healthy working bowel, and good health does begin in the gut, as we know. Other things that can cause constipation. Maybe you have a dairy allergy, because dairy allergy, more often than not in adults, will present itself as constipation. Sometimes with children, a dairy allergy shows up as ear infection, can show up as colic, irritability, all of that. But as adults, you know, adults find out if they have some dairy allergy. I don't necessarily mean intolerance. I'm not talking about lactose intolerance, which means you don't have enough lactase in your gut to break down the lactose in your dairy food. I'm talking about a true dairy allergy. Many adults find that when they eliminate dairy, they have better working bowels, that they are no longer constipated. Speaking of dairy, did you know that hard cheeses are constipating? Hard cheeses can be quite constipating, as are some of the brat foods. What are the brat foods? Brat, B-R-A-T, is the acronym for foods that can be binding. Brat stands for, B is for bananas, R is for rice. I'm talking about white rice because there is no fiber present. So white rice can be binding. The A is for applesauce. Not apples, but applesauce can be binding. And tea, regular black tea, because it's very, very tannic, it's very drying, and that could dry up the insides as well. And toast, I'm talking about tea and toast, dry toast, things that you would give, foods that you would give to somebody who has diarrhea and needs to get it under control, right? If you're eating a lot of these foods, bananas, white rice, applesauce, taking in several cups of black tea a day, this could be the cause of your constipation. Eliminate those foods to see if it makes a difference. I have had clients say to me, when I eat raw nuts, my digestion literally shuts down. So what's the problem? You say, hey, but raw nuts, they contain enzymes. Raw nuts are better for us nutritionally. But if you're suffering with constipation, you need to know that raw nuts contain trypsin inhibitors. And what they do is they inhibit your own digestive juices, and that's the way they can cause constipation. Eat roasted nuts instead. I've talked on previous podcasts about roasting your nuts, a dry skillet over medium heat, all of that. So roasting can deactivate most of the trypsin inhibitors in raw nuts and seeds. Another thing, hey, are you wheat sensitive? Are you gluten sensitive? I've been doing this for a lot of years now, counseling and nutrition, and a common complaint I hear is, hey, when I eat wheat, when I eat bread or pasta or anything containing gluten, I just get sluggish. And they're not necessarily meaning that they feel tired, although that can happen. But sluggish in their bowel, everything slows down when they're consuming wheat or other gluten grains. What are the other gluten grains? We're talking about rye, barley, spelt, triticale, kamut, and oats. Oats can be contaminated with gluten. So try embarking on a gluten-free diet and see if you find relief, or at the very least, eliminate wheat, which is a common culprit, and see if you'll find relief. Are you skipping meals? Are you having irregular meal times? When we eat erratically, our bowel movements will also reflect that and become erratic. Every time we eat or drink, it's an opportunity for peristalsis in the gut. That means the moving along of the contents in the gut. So by maintaining regular meal times, okay, you can maintain bowel regularity. And finally, are you sedentary? We need to be moving our bodies. We need to be exercising daily. Oftentimes, you'll go out for a jog or a run. By the time you've come back, hey, you've got to go to the bathroom. It helps with peristalsis, that, gravity, all of it. So constipation is often alleviated when you get up off the couch, okay? So, Shahzad, I hope this helps you in maintaining or achieving bowel regularity. And Richard, thank you for your question on the lye process in olives. And thank you for joining me on this edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.